And now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Roland. I'm your host. The program is called Talk to a Pastor. I think you're going to like this program. Yes, I think you're going to like this program. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the program. We're going to talk about some different topics today, a variety of topics. First of all, we're going to talk about work situations. A lot of people ask the question, why do I feel so tired and drained after work? Why does work make me so tired and drained? I come home and I'm all tired and drained. Well, there are a couple of reasons. The first reason is there is a lot of temptation at work. A lot of temptation. Teasing, injustice, and talk about teasing, and talk about injustice. You see what I mean? You know, you go to lunch and people say, well, I'm not getting paid enough and this and that, and this is unfair, and she's doing less work than me, and she's making more money than me, and so on and so forth. You see, that's all temptation. It's all like gossip, and you have to learn the art of distancing yourself a little bit from it. In other words, to, for all, not seek it out, not get involved with it. See, if you're the kind of person who goes about your business, you're friendly. See, you're friendly, you're affable, you're good-natured, but you have sort of a neutral attitude toward things. You don't get involved in, gossip. Then people will, they'll be more likely not to come to you with a bunch of gossip. You see what I mean? It doesn't mean that you have to be standoffish necessarily. It doesn't mean that you have to be rude or anything like that. You can be very polite, very kind, very good-natured, see? But just not getting involved in that kind of talk. So that's one thing. So you have to learn to, what did Jesus say? He said you must learn to be in the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. Go to work, do your job, you're industrious, not ambitious. See, that's the other thing that can cause stress, is being ambitious. See, being ambitious, striving, struggling, trying, accepting challenges. And the other thing about work, they're going to lay a lot of challenges on you, aren't they? Just about every staff meeting, every office meeting, challenges, challenges, challenges. See? So you got to watch out for that. Admit you can be a good worker, very diligent worker, a creative worker, an excellent worker, a reliable worker, a worker who does such a good job that you get promoted. That's okay, but just not ambitious. You see the difference between being ambitious and being industrious. All right. Now, the other thing about work is that the other thing about work is the environment itself. You've got all this electrosmog around you, all these electronic gadgets, and sometimes the conditions are not the great. The air to breathe is not the greatest if you're working indoors. Well, then, watch your health then. You know, when you get home, turn the Wi-Fi off at home. Turn the Wi-Fi off at night when you go to sleep. You know, drink really good water. Not out of plastic bottles that put different plasticizers into the water, but out of the proper type of bottles or stainless steel bottles or whatever. Eat the right kind of food, take the right kind of vitamins, all that kind of stuff. Okay, but now I'm going to give you the biggest secret to dealing with not getting all stressed and upset at work. And also about coworkers. A lot of people say, I don't get along with my coworker. My coworkers upset me. My coworkers irritate me and so on. Well, what are you going to do about that? Well, I'll give you the secret. Would you like the secret to how to be at work and not get all upset, not get all stressed out by other people and the things that they do? Okay, here's the secret. The secret is don't become resentful. That's the secret. Don't become resentful. I shall be right back after this important announcement.
like a really positive attitude? If so, you must learn how not to be upset. If you are easily upset, it is because you are too reactive. In order to be calm, you must learn the secret of responding to inner principle instead of external tease. To learn the secret of not reacting with resentment and upset, go to commonsensecounseling.org, where you can download a free introductory copy of the meditation exercise. By relating humbly to inner principle, you can overlook others' cruelty and also overlook your own negative thoughts and emotions. By having remained unmoved, you are free to discern the meaning of the moment and respond with patience. The self-control you receive will restore confidence and a positive attitude based on a love of principle and having patience with others. Visit commonsensecounseling.org and start living instead of reacting.
Welcome back. My name is Roland. We're talking about the workplace. We're talking about the workplace and how not to get all stressed out and upset and nervous. And the secret, I said, is to become resentful. That advice is so good. It is such excellent advice. It applies across the board, whether you're in school, sitting in a classroom, at work, at home, dealing with relatives, dealing with in-laws, dealing with your neighbor, your wife, your husband, it applies everywhere. Your number one line of defense is don't become resentful. Watch out for resentment. See, I have meditations that help you with that. I have an excellent 4-part meditation. I even have a free meditation. And I have a meditation for stress and anxiety, a stress meditation for PTSD. So if you don't know how not to be resentful, if you need some help with it, then you should read some of my articles and some of my books and get the meditation, try the meditation. The secret is not to become resentful. See, don't become resentful in the first place. You won't become upset, angry, upset, nervous, and so on in the second place. And if you do catch yourself becoming resentful, then watch it. Watch the resentment. Let it pass. Don't indulge it. You know, don't indulge it. You know, it's like... let's say there was a bunch of chocolates sitting there. If you just see the chocolates and there they are, and they're kind of a little bit tempting, but you don't want to eat them because you're watching your waistline, and you know they got a lot of sugar in them. They're not good for you, so you just stay away from them. So there they are. You just let them pass. But if you go over to the chocolates and you put your nose in the chocolates and deep breathe in the smell of the chocolates and look at them and breathe the smell in and so forth. And before long, by indulging that, what's going to happen? You're going to start eating chocolates. And you'll have another one. You see what I mean? So when the resentment is there, don't indulge it. See, just stand back from it, mentally stand back. And if you don't know how to do that, get my meditation. Mentally stand back and just watch the resentment, let it pass, okay? That's the secret. You see what resentment is. See, let me give you, this is a great spiritual secret. A great spiritual secret. Okay? You could go to Tibet, to the greatest meditation centers around the world, or spiritual centers, religious centers. You could go to the Vatican. You could go all over the place, see? And they might talk about something, and you won't know how to do it. But I'm teaching you how to do it. What are they going to talk about? They're going to talk about what? Forgiveness. They're going to talk about patience. See? Patience. See? Christ said, by patience, you possess your soul. By patience, you possess your soul. So how do you be patient? How do you do that? The answer is, don't become resentful. There it is. I've given you the answer. The secret to life. The secret could be the secret between salvation and not. Secret to eternal life. Don't become resentful. You remain patient by not being resentful. And because you have been resentful, no wonder you're all tense and nervous and anxious and upset. It's because you have been resentful. So now what you need to do is learn to meditate. And why do you need to meditate according to the way to my meditation? Why my meditation and not other meditations? The basic answer is, I could give you a detailed answer, I could go on for hours, I've written books about it, but the basic answer is, what you need to be able to do is to stand back. To stand back from negative thoughts and emotions, just to stand back from them. A little bit of mental distance. You need to learn that secret. So that when resentment arises, see, because you have been so resentful in the past, now all these emotions are going to rise up. Here comes your neighbor, here comes your wife, here comes your coworker. They say something, they look at you in a certain way, they do something, see? And there's the upset. Okay, stand back and watch it, let it pass. And then you'll see the resentment. At a certain point, you'll see the resentment. There it is. Okay, watch it. Stand back, watch it. Don't indulge it. Don't breathe in the aroma of it. Just let it pass. Stand back. It may be a little painful to deny yourself. See, what you're doing is you're denying your ego. It's ego food. See, just like some people like chocolates or potato chips or hot wings or whatever, our ego, our pride likes little tidbits of judgment. We judge others. We resent them. See, that's the little boot, the little excitement you get, the little stimulation that your ego gets. See, is the resentment. But watch out for it, because that resentment, see, builds a you that is not only a nervous wreck and a basket case and angry and hateful and sneaky and all these things, but later bitter, but it ruins your health, see, and not only that, but it keeps you from the kingdom of heaven. It's that simple. Resentment keeps you from the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, watch out for resentment, okay? All right. After this break, we're going to talk about relationships. Oh, relationships. I'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Many people have emotional and mental health issues. Many people have been diagnosed with adult ADD, bipolar disorder, social anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, depression. Many Christians would like to hear something positive and practical from someone who successfully overcame such issues. I'd like to tell you about a friend of mine. His name is Mike. He wrote a book called Mike's Story. Mike got unstuck, conquered his issues, and left them behind. Mike wrote to me about his successes, and I was so excited and moved by his story that I helped him put it into a book. It's called Mike's Story. I'd like you to preview the book. And perhaps even obtain a copy of Mike's Story in paperback, Kindle, or Barnes & Noble Nookbook. If you'd like to preview Mike's Story, go to talktoapastor.org. That's www.talktoapastor.org, and look for Mike's Story. Welcome back. My name is Roland. We talked about work. Now we're going to talk about relationships. Let's talk about relationships. Now, why is it? See, a lot of people say, well, I argue with my partner all the time. My partner and I fight all the time. My husband and I argue all the time. My wife and I fight all the time. Well, okay. So you do. You know something? That's the way it's been. You could go to Thailand. You could go down to Colombia. You could go up to Norway. You could go over to Finland or to the Shanghai in China. See? And it would be the same thing. You know, you could go over to Ghana. Everywhere it's the same thing. Okay? There's something between men and women. There's something between men and women, and I have written books on the subject because I understand it thoroughly, and you need to understand it too if you want to get along better with your partner, or at least keep from getting all stressed out. But see, so there's going to be arguing, but there's such a thing as a good fight. See, when I say fight, I don't mean, fists and violence or anything like that. I mean, a disagreement. There's such a thing as a good disagreement, and then there's a bad disagreement. And a bad disagreement is what 99% of us are involved in with our partner. Now, a good fight or a good disagreement is when one person is standing for what's right. For what's right, for what's proper, for what's just. Okay, the other one's doing something that's not quite right or naughty. Or one of them is being unreasonable. Okay, one of the partners is being unreasonable, and the other partner is reasonable. Okay, well, the one who is who's reasonable, and who's standing for what's right, see, doesn't get angry, doesn't get upset, makes his points or makes her points, and stands for what's right. See what I mean? Okay, well, that's good. Now, if the other person, sees the wisdom in what the other one is saying, and stops being unreasonable, or stops doing something naughty or wrong, see, well, then it's a win-win situation. Why? Because right wins. Reasonable wins. See, so it's not who's right, but what's right. When what's right wins, it's a win-win situation. Okay? All right. Now, but what do most of us do when we argue? We argue what? Resentfully. One ego versus another ego. A little game of one-upmanship. See? Dragging out things from the past. See? And throwing it in their face. And becoming upset and becoming angry. See? All that kind of stuff. Not good. Not good. All right. So once again, now do you see the importance of learning not to be resentful? See, if you're not resentful, in the first place, then you can manage, then you won't become upset in the second place. But if you're used to becoming upset all the time, and usually it ends up that one person becomes dominant, the other one becomes passive. That's not good for either of them. The dominant one eventually becomes a bully, and the weak one becomes a patsy or a wimp. See? It's not good. It's not good. We need to elevate our relationships to be on a more mature level, a more spiritual level. And the way you can start to do that is by not being resentful. Okay? Now, if in the past you've been resentful all the time and angry and upset all the time, now your body is conditioned to be upset. So what's going to happen is when some issue arises, then you're going to notice your body becoming upset. But if you can get my meditation and practice it, then you will learn the art of standing back, and there you'll see your upset. You'll be able to stand back and watch your upset. See? You'll be able to watch it and let it diminish, not build. See, if you indulge the upset, if you get all involved in the upset, and then you resent yourself, you resent the upset, you get angry at your anger, you resent your resentment, you get angry at your upset, or you get upset when you're upset. You see what I mean? Then you start blaming yourself or the other person. It's a snowball effect. So you can stop it short by standing back and watching it, letting it pass. See? And then watch for the resentment. Oh, there it is. There's resentment. Watch it. Let it pass. Okay? Then you will be able to be reasonable. And you'll be able to say the right thing or do the right thing. Okay? You'll be able to overlook the other person's naughtiness or wrong. You'll be able to overlook your own upset and say the right thing or do the right thing. Or perhaps nothing needs to be said, then you won't say the wrong thing. You see what I mean? Then the moment will pass. You didn't do anything, untoward. You didn't add to the fuel to the fire. Then your reasonableness and what calm you can muster will hold sway. It'll be a beautiful thing, see? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right? You'll have a totally different effect, a good effect on the whole thing. That doesn't mean that the other person will immediately see your point of view. It may be that you see that you're the one that's been unreasonable. You're the one that's been unjust. See? Or you're the one that's been out of order. Okay? Then you will see that. Uh-oh, there it is. Don't resent seeing it. Don't resent seeing that you're the one that's out of order. Okay? Maybe apologize to the other person. Say, hey, I'm sorry. I see that I was wrong. I'm sorry. I apologize. See? And then on with the show. See? Then you move forward. Got it? Okay. So now you know how to... Now I've given you an excellent tip for dealing with relationships. Okay? All right. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is time management. I want to talk about a little bit about time management because that's an important thing. Now, time management. Here's what I say about time management. A person asked about time management. The reason why we're not very good at time management is because we're too scattered. We're scattered. Okay? We're not focused enough. Now, when I say focused, I don't mean concentrating. I mean just being able to attend to the most important matter at hand. So I'll give you some tips on how to become less scattered. Okay? In just a moment after this announcement. Hi, this is Roland. Do you have relationship issues? Okay, who doesn't have relationship issues? That's why I want to tell you about my most popular book, The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Do you and your partner argue all the time? Do you want to understand men and women better? Are you in a relationship and thinking of getting married? Then you will want to preview The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. You'll find out how to relate better with your partner, reduce your stress, and possibly even heal your relationship. Visit www.talktoapastor.org and look for Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. You'll be glad you did. Oh, incidentally, I want to tell you about a special that we have. For a donation of any amount, I'll send you a PDF of The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage by email as a token of my appreciation. That's for a donation of any amount. I'll send you a PDF of The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage by email so you can start reading it right away. Welcome back. We're talking about time management. All right, now, let's talk, okay, in simple terms, you know, the to-do list is excellent. How many of you make a to-do list? We all know about to-do lists, but it's very good. If you have a lot of things to do, the first thing you do is sit down in the morning, make a to-do list, see, and then you prioritize which ones are important. That way you have a list of things that you need to do. Then the second thing is to prioritize what's important, what's the most important, and then you do the most important. And then you have little odd moments between important things, and in those little odd moments you can quickly, you know, get rid of some little thing that's not so important. You see what I mean? The to-do list is very helpful. But I want to talk about it more spiritually, more philosophically, you see, for your life, for time management for your life. Okay, first of all, is you have to be your own person. See, you have to be your own person doing what is right for you. See, not what other people think is right for you. How many of us go through life and we don't know what our purpose is, we don't know where we're going, we just drift along, and then other people give us goals. They set goals for us, see, and they tease us, they challenge us to go for those goals. See, so what happens is either we become ambitiously excited about the goal, see, or we resent the challenge. But either way, our ego gets involved, and before long we get trapped into striving and struggling and trying, striving, struggling, and trying. See? And you can get trapped into that. Years can go by, and there you are. You accomplish something that was somebody else's idea, a goal that somebody else set for you. And you can sit there and you say, I wasted my life. I wasted all those years. I wasted all that energy playing the other man's game. Okay, so watch out for that trap. Because if you're going about your business on a daily basis, doing what's good for you, what's right for you. See, the way I live my life is like the problem with goals is that they're usually egotistical. Remember Christ said, not my will, but thy will be done. People want to know how do I know God's will? That's another question I get a lot. How do I know God's will? Well, You know, sometimes he might make it known very directly, but for most of the time, what it means is just not going the wrong way, and you'll be going the right way. Live life a moment at a time, just the way the symphony plays one note at a time. One note at a time. See? Every moment, doing what seems right for the moment, and little by little, your life will unfold properly. And then suddenly you'll say, well, that was God's will, and you're where you belong and where God wants you to be. Okay? Hello, everybody. I happen to believe that the meditation exercise is the key to a stress-free, centered way of living. And I'd like to help you get started. A lot of people would love to have a beautiful CD of the four-part meditation to listen to at home or to take with them in the car. And so if you'd like to have a beautiful CD of the four-part meditation, go to talktoapastor.org or commonsensecounseling.org. Either one will work just fine. As a special offer, I will also send you two free ebooks when you order the meditation CD. To receive the meditation CD by mail and two free ebooks, go to talktoapastor.org or commonsensecounseling.org. Yes, indeed. The meditation is very important to help you to become patient, to deal with resentment and past upsets, to find your purpose in life. Oh, so many wonderful things are involved in learning to meditate properly. So please go to my website. Go to commonsensecounseling.org or talktoapastor.org and check out the meditation. Give it a try. My name is Roland. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. Please remember that Roland's program is listener supported. Thank you.